Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. In high school English class, there were lots of things, for some reason, that I was supposed to learn by heart or was supposed to memorize. What we really mean when we say learn by heart is learn by rote, right? It's a little bit different. But I was expected to memorize a great many things in high school, particularly for English class. And I have that kind of mind where it's really hard to let something go once I've been told I have to memorize it. And so I can recite for you whole passages from A Tree Grows in Brooklyn and from To Kill a Mockingbird and from Romeo and Juliet and a whole bunch of other places. I can also recite for you from rote the side of the Special K cereal box from when I was in middle school because I read it every morning, and so I know it by heart, as we say. And yes, there are many passages from Scripture that I can recite to you without looking in various translations and interpretations, by which I mean English translations. I can't recite them in other languages, but I can recite them depending on when I learned them in the NRSV or the NIB or the whatever it was when I learned it. And so there are many things, there are many parts of the Bible that I know by heart. And as the children were sharing this morning, there are many prayers or creeds or acts of devotion that we know by heart, that we know by rote, so well that we can rattle them off without thinking. They just sort of spill out of us, and we don't have to second guess it. We don't have to wonder where it came from. Sometimes that's not a great thing because it means we might not really be listening to what we're saying. But we know them. We know them by heart. They are second nature. We are, after all, one of the religions that practices a faith based in sacred text. Based in Scripture, we are people of the book. We are people for whom the text of Scripture, the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, are incredibly foundational and important. And so it makes sense that we know words by heart because we are people of the Word. We believe that God speaks in Word, that one of the names for God and for God in Christ is the Word and the Word made flesh. The law, the writing, was incredibly important to the Jewish people as well, to the people of Israel at the time that Jeremiah was speaking to them. The law of Moses, by which we don't just mean like the Ten Commandments that we imagine carved in stone, but we mean the whole of the law, all 600 plus commandments contained in the Torah. And people memorized it just as we memorize it and more. But Jeremiah's words speak to a different kind of knowing of God's law, of God's covenant, of God's promise to us. A knowing it not by heart, but in our hearts or on our hearts. To know something heart deep. To know something instinctively and in the pit of our being, but not by rote. Not something we just recite and rattle off, but something that we know at a heart deep level. What does it mean to know God's covenant written on our hearts? I learned what part of God's law, God's promise, God's covenant was written on my heart very early in my ministry. And I want to share a story with you, a sad but powerful story about how I came to know what it was that was written in my heart, and a way in which I shared with someone and learned what was or could be written in her heart. I was asked to visit with a young teenage woman. Her brother had recently passed away. That's not an uncommon occurrence. Her brother had also been guilty of murder. That's less common. So often we see in the news people who do terrible things. We see stories and news accounts of those who kill, those who murder, those who take the life of another or more, and we can't really wrap our minds around it. We might debate and ask hypothetical questions about grace, about forgiveness, about restorative justice versus punitive or retributive justice. We might ask questions about crime and punishment and death penalty and all sorts of hypothetical or real or circumstantial questions. But most often we ask these questions from the perspective of those who are detached from the situation. We've seen this horrible circumstance, but from a distance. It is less common for us to consider these questions of grace from the perspective of one who has perpetrated this action or of their family. This was different. And so I was asked to visit this young woman and to talk with her, to listen with her. And I walked into the kitchen and I barely had time to take off my jacket, and I most certainly did not have time to sit down. She was sitting at the kitchen table. She had her Bible open across her lap. Her eyes were bloodshot red. And she looked me straight in the face with those bloodshot eyes and she said, "Pastor, is my brother in hell?" I've been to seminary. I had a couple years ministry experience, but not a whole lot. And I stumbled and stammered a little bit at first about grace and stuff. And she got more pointed and she said, "Can God forgive murder?" And I looked back at her, and an answer that wasn't necessarily, I didn't think about it, I didn't pause to reflect, I didn't have anything memorized, I had an answer in my heart. It was what was written there. It's like when you are grasping at straws and the very last straw you come up with, that's what's written on your heart. And I said, "You already know the answer to that question." She said, "I do." "Yeah. You've got your Bible there. And Jesus was murdered. What does he say? What did he say about his own killers as he was even dying?" And she said instantly, she knew it by heart. She had that answer immediately. Didn't have to think about it. She said, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." I said, "Did your brother know what he was doing?" She said, No. He was very mentally ill. He was a very troubled young man. He was hurting. He was suffering. He didn't know what he was doing." "So what does Jesus say about that?" I said. And she said, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." "But Pastor," she said, "do you think that he is still hurting, that he is still suffering, that he is still that sick and sad man that did this horrible thing?" I said, "Well, you know that too. And that's in Revelation. What does God say about the new heaven and the new earth?" And she says, "Oh yeah, it's something about I will wipe all the tears from their eyes and there will be no more mourning and no more curse and no more suffering." So if we take all of that away, all of the pain, all of the brokenness, all of the sickness, all of the sadness, all of that, which made your brother not know what he was doing, if we take all that away, what's left? And she said, "What's left is my brother. What's left is the young man that I loved. Can you forgive and love him still?" And she said, "Yeah, I can." So if you, who are a person, fallible and slow to love and forgive as any of us are, if you can do that, do you think God can do that? And she said, "Yeah." I only saw her a couple more times before and during the funeral, and I didn't see her again after. But I saw her grandmother, who was the member of the congregation who'd asked me to visit with her, and I would ask sometimes about how her granddaughter was doing. And she would say that, you know, her granddaughter sometimes slipped back into that incredible grief and pain, as anyone would. And she would start to cry and to struggle and to grieve again and again, as we all do. And she would, in that grief, say to herself and say out loud sometimes, "Is my brother in hell, where is my brother? And then she would stop herself and take a little breath, and she would say, forgive them. They know not what they do. Yes, it's a passage from Scripture that she had memorized. It's a pretty short one, so it's pretty easy to memorize. But it wasn't about the words. It was never about the words. But that day and that conversation, she was able to write or to see what was already written in God's word on her heart. And it was a word of forgiveness. It was a word of grace. It was a word of hope for herself and for her brother. And that day I saw too what was written on my heart. What part of all of this long story of God's relationship with humanity I come down to when all else is stripped away and your back is up against the wall and you are asked one of the really, really hard questions of life by someone else or by yourself or by the circumstances around you. You strip away all the layers and all the things that you've memorized and all of the passages and all of the stories, and what's left, I think, is what God has written on our hearts, or what we have allowed to be inscribed and engraved there. Is it a word of grace? Is it a word of love? God's nature, God's name, says John Wesley, is love. Says the author of the letters of John 2, God is love. God is grace. God is hope and healing and forgiveness and salvation and all the promises of God that we have talked about this whole Lenten season. They are what is written in our hearts. And the days are coming, surely coming, says God, when you don't need to say to each other, know God. Or study your scripture. We study these words. We study this text. We study these stories so that they can reveal to us what is ingrained, what is engraved in our hearts. But it is not the words themselves, but what they point us to. When all else passes away, when we have nothing left and we are grasping at straws, and the one straw we come up with in our hands, and we name it. We name it love. We name it grace. We name it God's promise of forgiveness. In those days, God says, they will not tell one another to learn the name of God. They will not need to study the law, because I will write it in their hearts. I will engrave my name, my covenant, on their hearts. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. What is written? Not in a book, not in a poem or a prayer or a story that you've memorized. What is written on your heart? That is the promise of God. Amen.